Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, this is hilarious. I was telling Becky Hillier, was it yesterday? So yesterday at the start of the show, the 6 o'clock hour, you know, I was joking about Rosie O'Donnell self-deporting to Ireland. And then I started playing, you know, St. Patrick's Day is coming up on Monday. So, you know, there's such great Irish music out there.
Yes.
Dropkick Murphys, I'm shipping off to Boston. And then God Save Ireland by the Dubliners is one of my favorites. And so I mentioned how, you know, when I was transiting from Kuwait to Iraq, and you're riding on these buses with the windows all covered, I was listening to my iPod, and I would listen to Dropkick Murphys and things like that. And so anyway, long story short, then we're reminiscing, and Tim and Savage is like, oh, yeah, I remember the Sony Walkman.
Oh, jeez.
And our young producer, Caden, I had joked. I was like, I don't even know if Caden knows what an
Probably
iPod
not.
Is.
Yeah.
The only reason he knew what an iPod is because his mom had one.
Of course.
In the day. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, yeah, so I asked you when you walked in. And then we had a great note from Carol in Billings who talked about being in a hospital room as a kid. And she had a transistor radio that kind of kept her spirits up while she was struggling through, you know, this hospital, you know, situation. But anyway, so I asked Becky, I said, all right, do you remember the days when you got a Sony Walkman? You never got one.
Oh, no, Aaron. I did not get a Sony Walkman. I got the GE knockoff version of the Sony Walkman. You know, and you and I were talking. We actually have a lot in common in our backgrounds.
Yeah.
Our moms were both waitresses. My mom was the hardest worker I've ever known, and God
mine
love
too.
Her.
Yeah, mine too.
Both
yeah.
very hard
Still
workers.
Is.
And, you know, my parents got divorced when I was 8. My brother was 11. My sister's off in college. And mom had to work 2 and 3 jobs in order to, you know, support us. I had a job from the time I was 10 years old. And I would buy a lot of my own stuff, but I didn't even have enough money to buy a Sony Walkman. So she gave me the money to buy the GE version. And I remember going to the track meets. And, you know, when you're an 8th, 9th grader, you want to be cool like everybody else. And I'm trying to, you know, hide the GE label on my cassette player. And some of my friends actually had the Sony Walkman.
I they thought, got it, like, front and center.
Exactly.
Showing everybody, look at my Sony Walkman.
Yeah, with on their hip and, you know, a little, you know, swagger to their walk. And I got my GE Walkman. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. But there's no way I would ever say anything, would have said anything like that to my mom because she would have been heartbroken. It would have bothered her that made me feel bad or that other kids didn't think that I was worthy of something because I had a GE. Who cares, really?
No, and you look back on it, you're like, man, that was so stupid.
It
but
was.
When you're a kid, it's like the biggest
it's
thing in
everything.
The world. But no,
yeah.
I totally agree with you there, where it's like, okay, you don't want to get made fun of for having the knockoff, the fake Jordan shoes. I had those for one basketball season. And that's when I stepped up my newspaper money route. And I got some
right?
nice, I got some nice Fila's instead. But even worse than getting made fun of, you feel worse about telling your hardworking parent.
Absolutely.
That, you know, because you know how hard they're working to make it all happen. And so.
Yeah, even as kids, we knew that.
That's right. Yeah. And so we're so appreciative of our hardworking moms
Absolutely.
Out there.
Absolutely. Cheers to them.
That's right. All right. Back after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see lingering clouds and some snow showers around the area early on today, followed by some sunshine, especially this afternoon. High temperatures will range from the upper 30s around 40 in Bozeman to 49 in the Billings area. For tonight, with partly cloudy skies, low temperatures from the lower to middle 20s in most spots, partly sunny Saturday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is House Call for Health. Neurologists and aging experts at the Cleveland Clinic say the number of dementia cases will double by the year 2060. Experts say this is likely because the number of people over age 65 will consistently increase by then. Cleveland Clinic experts say dementia comes from a decline in memory, reasoning, language, coordination, or behavior. The best strategies to fight it are in good health, such as the Mediterranean diet, staying socially engaged, and picking up new skills. They also say there's no current cure for dementia, but there are treatment options available. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says Alzheimer's is the most common type of dementia, and that early symptoms usually begin to appear after you turn 60 and continue to increase with age. CDC forecasts the number of Alzheimer's patients will double from 6.9 million in 2020 to nearly 14 million by 2060. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Oh, yeah, this was the quote of the day on Montana Talks. We were talking about how Rosie O'Donnell has self-deported to Ireland. That's right. God save Ireland. Rosie O'Donnell has self-deported to Ireland. Now, then the Irish Prime Minister was in the White House. Tim and Savage had the line of the week. He says, I was worried that just like Trump's been trying to force other countries to take their citizens back, that the Irish wanted us to take her back. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so great to have Becky Hillier in on this Freedom Friday. And every week it's a good opportunity. I mean, there's so many good things to talk about in the news these days, if you ask me. But it's just a chance to look at the bright side of things and highlight some of the good stories out there and just have a good conversation. So Becky's got a great career in broadcasting on the TV side of the house. So it's always great to have Becky Hillier in the house with us here as well. Yeah, you know, do you remember what your first cassette tape was that
you bought?
Because you were in Miles City when you got your knockoff Sony Walkman.
My GE cassette player, yeah. I'm trying to remember. That's one of the reasons why I worked when I was 10, 11, 12 years old. I was a dishwasher and made money because I loved music. And so I would buy the vinyl records. And that's what most of my money went to. Cassette-wise, gosh, what was it? I can't remember what
my
first cassette was.
I'm pretty sure mine was Def Leppard. I think that was the first cassette that I had purchased, or at least that I remember purchasing. And then CD. Did you get your? Did you finally? Since you had dishwasher money, did you afford the Sony CD version of the Walkman then?
No, or? I never had really the brand name of anything. I didn't. You know, but I figured if it was in my room, if the cassette player was in my room, nobody saw it, then I could, you know, live in my own little fantasy of having all the brand name fancy things. But music was a huge part of my life. So I bought a lot of backup music cassettes because I used to sing a lot. And so I had a whole treasure trove of backup music that I would sing to at different events and, you know, whatever it was.
Man, I look back and it was like, well, it was funny because, you know, I remember being a little kid and you know, you know, when I was in Glasgow, you know, in elementary school, like, man, if you didn't have the right shoes on, you'd get made fun of for not having the right shoes or whatever. And then, when I hit junior high, I was making good money doing newspapers, stuffing newspapers, delivering newspapers on the weekends. And then in high school, you know, started washing dishes at a Mexican restaurant, became a busboy, then became a waiter, started. And so then I wasted so much money. Every week I would have to buy the latest CD out.
Yeah.
So there's $10 or $13. Boom. You know, what a waste of money, but
well,
this is what you did back then.
You're a kid, and it teaches you money management skills, right? Because if you buy that CD and then you don't have money to buy a cool new shirt or a fancy new pair of shoes, you're like, well, dang it, I probably shouldn't have bought that CD because I've got 500 of them at home already.
Well, and then that motivation is what gives you the motivation to build the work ethic, and then that work ethic is what now allows you later in life to say, hey, no, I want to go get a pontoon boat.
Right.
So I can get out there and do something, you know, that was a rarity when I was a kid. But you know, back to talking about, you know, our hardworking moms out there. When I was in Glendive on Friday night and speaking at the Dawson County Lincoln Reagan dinner, and I was talking about America's 250th birthday, which is coming up next year. And so actually I talked about my hardworking mom. And I remember back in the 80s, it was like, you didn't, because my mom would be working on holidays, Thanksgiving, she was working at the Cottonwood, right? And then would eventually get to join the rest of the family at the holiday dinner or whatever. But I remember back in the 80s and 90s, I remember being inspired by that work ethic and motivated by that work ethic. I don't remember feeling like a victim and, oh, poor me and poor me. I was like, wow, I was inspired by my mom's hard work ethic. My dad, in order to see us in the summers, because they were divorced as well, he would chop firewood in the flathead. He'd bartend at the beer stube. And so, that work ethic always inspired me. But, like, nowadays, it's like people want to be victims about everything. It's like and it's not good for our country, and it's not good for kids, and it's not good for our future. And so that was partly like I talked about, in Glendive, is that back in the 80s and 90s, like, we were inspired because we knew that as Americans, no matter what our living situation was, no matter where you came from, you had the opportunity to do practically whatever you want to do.
Yeah, you really did. And I agree with that 100%. My mom and my dad too, they just worked so hard. My mom, probably the same for your mom too, Aaron. After my folks got divorced, she was a waitress, and we lived off of her tips. She provided for us and, built a nice life off the hard work and the money she made from the tips from her customers. But she absolutely could have qualified for every social program there was out there. But she was too proud, and she didn't want anything for free. And she, in moments where, the money was a little bit thin, she would take on an extra job. She worked two jobs for, gosh, probably 20, 30 years. And watching that was inspiring to me as well. And even as kind of a snotty teenager. but I remember looking at her, and again, every holiday, we were alone. And that's why even today when holidays come up, they sneak up on me, because it never seemed like a holiday because my mom was always working.
Oh, interesting.
She was never home. And so Easter will be right around the corner. Oh, yeah, Easter is, Sunday. Oh, shoot. I didn't make any plans. Oh, Thanksgiving is coming up. I didn't even think about that. It's because it was never a big deal because mom was always working because she got, time and a half, or she got better tips. So, but it was inspiring, and it always made me want to strive and do more and try to be more. She never really deviated from what she did. And for me, that's one area in which I kind of went off a little bit. I will never say no to a great opportunity. She had some opportunities, but she had such a responsibility to take care of his kids, she didn't feel comfortably that she could take or pursue those other opportunities. So she would watch me do all of these awesome things and say, oh, you just make me so nervous. I wish I would have done that,
If we were having this same conversation about iPods and Walkmans 20 years ago, we would have said, hey, what was your first 8-track? Bill in Belgrade is going to tell us about his first 8-track.
Oh, I can't wait, Bill.
Right after this. He's on the phone line, so stand by, Bill. We'll get to your call right after this on this Freedom Friday, looking at the bright side with Becky Hilliard.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Here's the scenario. You believe that businesses who raise their prices, say for gasoline or water after a flood or natural disaster, are criminals and should be thrown in jail. Then you listen to an expert or take an economics class and hear why such anti-price gouging policies produce outcomes that are worse. And so you are no longer against letting prices go up, right? Well, not exactly. New research shows that people don't change their beliefs on strongly held convictions, even after hearing explanations about how policies they strongly believe in lead to worse outcomes. There's no question that people have less trust of experts, especially in the wake of COVID. But our sudden love affair with bad economic policies, like 100% tariffs, $25-an-hour minimum wages, or directing government spending on favored industries, seem doomed to repeat some very painful lessons from economic history that those now distrusted experts have spent their professional lives learning how to avoid. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Rosie O'Donnell has put out a video saying, I'm here in Ireland, and it's beautiful, and it's been pretty wonderful. She moved there just days before President Trump's inauguration, and she says she's in the process of becoming an Irish citizen. Quote, when it is safe for all citizens to have equal rights there in America, that's when we will consider coming back. Well, good luck, Rosie. She's getting a lot of mockery and ridicule online. On the other hand, if she just can't bear the thought of living under a Trump presidency, she voted with her feet, actually wants to become an Irish citizen. She has been feuding with Donald Trump since her days on The View, and even before that. In fact, when Megyn Kelly, at that famous debate, asked about a whole series of things where Trump was mistreating women, he said, only Rosie O'Donnell. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Troy? This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Wildfire was center stage this week at a Senate Agriculture Subcommittee hearing when North Dakota U.S. Senator John Hovind questioned Mega Fire Action CEO Matt Weiner on the role livestock grazing plays in reducing catastrophic wildfire risk.
Livestock grazing can have both in terms of promoting more fire-resistant, healthy landscapes, of course, at the same time, really helping our ranchers.
One great point that this brings up is that while the bill is called the Fix Our Forest Act, this is really about all types of landscapes impacted by fire. We think about chaparral landscapes that were impacted in the Los Angeles fires recently, and absolutely grazing landscapes like you have in North Dakota. One of the best tools that we have is grazing. We're really thrilled that the Fix Our Forest Act includes provisions to streamline authorities and approvals for targeted grazing projects, allowing cattlemen access to public lands for grazing in fire-prone areas.
And it's not just cattle playing a role in wildfire prevention. That's the message American Sheep Industry Association President Ben LaFelt shared with the U.S. Senate Ag Committee a few weeks ago.
We've got wildfire control going on in California. That should be front and center in this town. We've got noxious weed work that we do in Montana. We've got brush control that both sheep and goats are doing.
According to the National Public Lands Council, livestock grazing can reduce the risk of wildfire ignition by 45%. I'm Wayne Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we were talking, what was your first CD? What was your first cassette tape? Remember taking the plastic off of that cassette tape? It was so shiny, and then it would be all scratched up, yeah. And, you know, the case for it.
And but you couldn't get the wrapper off fast enough.
You couldn't get the wrapper off fast enough. I used to have this cassette case. I would ride Amtrak, so, you know, my mom lived in Glasgow, my dad lived in the Flathead, and So sometimes at Christmas, my brother and I we'd get thrown on the Amtrak train and then ride the Amtrak train. And then when we had to move south of Chicago, we'd take the Amtrak from Chicago all the way to Glasgow, Montana.
Oh, wow.
And so I'd have my whole cassette case with me and just playing different tapes. And then, you know, you'd run into people, you'd BS with people from all over the country on the train. It was a good time.
You know, one other thing I remember when I was a junior high kid, even in the high school, I guess, cleaning my room on the weekends, and you were waiting and waiting and waiting for your favorite song to play on the radio so you could push record.
Yes, and get it, and then,
you know, you'd not hit it right, and you'd miss part of the song. But, I mean, we would wait for that, and kids these days, they don't know the struggle that we had back then, trying to just time it right, pushing the record button to record our favorite song on the radio just perfectly.
I would get all of my homework for the entire week done on a Saturday night, because so in the 80s I was rock music, you know, Def Leppard, all that stuff.
Oh yeah, me too.
Right, and then in the early 90s I started getting into rap. So when we lived south of Chicago, WGCI, they had Disco Dave was on WGCI,
nice.
And they'd do the rap down every Saturday night, and I would record the whole thing so that then when I was walking to the basketball court, I could replay all of the songs,
yep,
right, on my Sony Walkman. Anyway, let's go to Bill and then I got into, you know, more country in the late 90s,
right.
The Alan Jackson,
like,
and
we
George
all did.
Strait,
yeah.
Everybody did, right?
Yeah.
Garth Brooks, everything, yeah. Let's go to Bill in Belgrade. Bill, what was your first 8-track?
ZZ Top Fandango.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well played, Bill.
Oh, yeah. No, it was great. It was great.
What was that moment like for you? How far, what year was that? Do you remember?
That was like 73 or 74.
Yeah.
So I was like 14 or 15.
And did you have a cassette player in your vehicle at the time, or were they still 8-tracks then?
No, I didn't have a vehicle at that point in time. I didn't get a vehicle until I was like 16.
Six? Okay, so you were 14 or 15, yeah. Well,
yeah,
ZZ Top.
I had friends that had 8-tracks that were mounted under the dash.
Yeah. That was fancy back in the day, right?
And they had...
Well, and then when they didn't play right, that's where you stuck the matchbook underneath the right side to hold it. Yeah.
And remember when cars had cigarette lighters
yes,
in them?
Yes,
and then that turned into the car charger eventually. And then now you've got USB connections in cars.
I know, crazy.
All sorts of crazy, wild stuff.
We used to give some neighbor kids a ride to school in the morning. And they were my sister's age, so I was little. But I would ride along because Mom would take them. So I was 3 or 4. And I remember one of the guys, we had the, it was a Pontiac Bonneville. And we had cigarette lighter things on each side of the front seats. And so this kid, and he was in high school, he pushed it down and it pops up and he looks at it and it's glowing orange. So what does he do? Naturally, he sticks his finger right on
it.
Burns his finger.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like,
he
wow.
didn't do that again, though.
No, well, maybe he did.
That's how 80s kids had to learn, though. You had to make stupid mistakes. And then
right. We made plenty of them.
That's how you figured it out. That's right. That's how you figured it out. Monty in Roundup says, now, his terminology for the non-veterans out there, he carried a big radio on his back. So that's what he's saying here. But our fellow veterans will get what Monty and Roundup is saying here. I humped a prick 17 in the Marine Corps, so I never had a desire to carry that techie junk around. His first 8-track was Molly Hatchet, Flirting with Disaster. And he put his first 8-track player in a 1972 Mercury Cougar. What was your first car, Becky? What was your first car?
Pontiac Bonneville.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
And then after that, I graduated up to a Chevy Monza, which was my sister's car. My sister is such a great student, and for her graduation present, they bought her a brand new Chevy Monza, red, white interior. It was beautiful and such a sporty little car. So I just salivated when I looked at that car driving this big old boat, the Pontiac Bonneville, around Miles City. And then my brother got the Monza. Eventually, I got the Monza. So when I was Miss Montana, I was traveling all over Montana in this red Chevy Monza. No air conditioning.
Oh, yeah. 55 miles an hour. Wasn't that miserable? How slow?
You think about that now.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I could ride my bike faster than that.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, I had a 1978 Chevy Monte Carlo in 1996. And
that's great.
Repainted it myself with some friends that helped me do that. So, yeah, that was a fun one. V8, rebuilt 350.
That's a lot of car.
That was fun to drive around. And, and I got it for like under $2,000, I think.
Really?
I think I paid $1,500 for it.
That's a steal.
So, yeah.
It'd be more expensive now.
Yeah, you couldn't even afford for us. Sometimes it's a Montana story. Sometimes it's a national story. Sometimes it's just something fun that she saw on social media. What's your look at the bright side for us this week, Becky Hillier?
Well, it's people in our communities who are really doing good things for those who are less fortunate, and they really put service over self. And so I found this great story on KPAX. It's a script station in Missoula, and it's about a Billings-based nonprofit called Blankets and Bears that was started by Sandy McCaffrey back in 2005, so 20 years, going strong still. Blankets and Bears provides children with blankets and pillows and stuffed animals so that they can have something that helps them feel safe and warm, something to cuddle and feel loved. And she's been doing this for kids all over Yellowstone County, again, for 20 years. She gives out about 600 to 900 of these nighttime bundles every year. So thousands of kids in Yellowstone County have benefited from that and have found peace and comfort in these bundles. Well, now she's kind of morphed naturally into storytelling, and she wrote a book called Forever Little Bear, which follows the story of a young girl who receives a stuffed animal and how that animal becomes her friend and she cares for it. And then when she becomes an adult, she gifts it to another little girl who will care for it. And so Sandy said in the story that, you know, the book really teaches a lot. It teaches a lot about how to care for something, how to be kind, and how to take care of your forever friend, which this stuffed animal was. But then also about loss, about giving that away to somebody else, gifting that to someone so that they have that same experience and learning to say goodbye and making peace with that and moving on. And so a lot of really great lessons in this book called Forever Little Bear by Sandy McCaffrey, written here in Billings. And she's just done great work in the community. And we know that some kids out there in our community, and well, communities all across the country, that nighttime bundle, that blanket, that bear, that pillow, that might be the only sense of comfort they get.
That one thing is the biggest thing, yeah.
Yes.
If you guys aren't following Becky Hillier on Facebook, she always shares great stuff, fun stuff, some heartwarming stuff, and just some good one-liners as well. Becky, I like this one that you shared. Don't worry about people who aren't happy for you. They aren't happy for themselves either.
Right.
And it reminds me of a great quote from the incredible Montana entrepreneur, Ray Thompson. He shared two things with our listeners, two things that make people successful. And he said the two things that help people be successful that he notices is if you get truly excited about seeing somebody else succeed.
Yes.
About making somebody else successful.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Finding happiness in other people's happiness. And there really is a lot of power to that. And I think it's really nice. You get to a certain level of maturity later in life where you can look at other people and instead of feeling envious or jealous, you just feel a sense of pride that they are doing so well. It's good to see people do well.
Well, Becky, thanks for brightening things up and on a cloudy day. Great to see you as always.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
8-tracks, iPods, Walkmans, what else? The transistor radio that we heard about yesterday. A listener in Bozeman just sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. Hey, here's what it was like back in the early 80s. White Nikes with the red swoosh strip and Levi's 501 straight legs were what the cool kids wore at Castle Rock Junior High in the early 80s. Rick James' Street Songs vinyl album was my Valentine's Day gift from my girlfriend in 1982 to 1983. That's from a listener in Bozeman. Thanks for sending that message. I got to laugh when I see Rick James because it reminds me of Dave Chappelle. It is, I'm Rick James. Well, you know what the word is. I'm Rick James. We had a sergeant from Philadelphia, a great guy over in Ramadi, Iraq with us back in 2005, 2006. And he was Sergeant First Class James. And, of course, I can't even tell you what his first name is, but we'd always be like, I'm Rick James on the radio. That's how we would describe him. Speaking of radio and telling some old throwback stories, you know, it was so fun catching up with Becky Hillier. By the way, we've got the phone lines open for you right now. If you got something you want to talk about on this Freedom Friday, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, Don Kay, the chairman of the Montana Republican Party, is going to join us. He joins us once a month for a weekly update. But and then in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to have an open lines Friday, which is always just such a great reminder of the great Rush Limbaugh. But, you know, whenever I end up, you know, running into listeners as I travel across the state or just chatting with random people and, you know, people are like, oh, well, what do you do? And I'll tell them, oh, I do a radio show in Montana. And, oh, how did you get into that? You know, because some people are like, wow, that sounds like a really fun job, especially right now with everything going on in the world, everything going on in the news and, you know, and especially what an honor it is to have a microphone like this at a time like this, because I truly believe that as America approaches her 250th birthday next year, the 250th anniversary of the United States of America, that we are at such a crucial time right now that it's not just about saving our country, but it's also about making sure that America remains the free republic that she is for another 250 years plus. But people always say, oh, how did you get into talk radio? And or how did And I would say that, you know, as we were talking about having a Sony Walkman, we were talking about, you know, Becky was talking about her hardworking mom, and I was talking about my hardworking mom. I remember seeing this and hearing this at an early age, that, you know, here you have your hardworking parents, and they're missing, you know, holiday dinners to put food on the table for you. And the more they work and the more money they make, the more they get penalized by the government, the more they get taxed by the government. I just remember learning that at a really young age, and just remember hearing, like, just what a slap in the face it was, that, like, oh, you work harder, or you get a raise, or you get more, you make more tips, you make more money, and then they tax you at an even higher rate. And then making money for myself. I wanted to work. I wanted to also help provide. You know, when I was in fourth grade, I just wanted money so I could go down to the Pizza Hut in Glasgow and, you know, play video games. And then I just wanted money so I could go get not just potato Olays at Taco John's. I wanted the nacho cheese on the potato Olays. So I loved being able to stuff newspapers as a little kid so I could cash my own check and just go buy things for myself and not have to ask somebody else for it. I enjoyed it. There was a joy in that, right? And so those two things, that's why when I first got the chance to hear Rush Limbaugh, and then I read his book in junior high school back in the early 90s, his book, See, I Told You So. I mean, put Democrat and Republican aside, put politics aside for just a moment. What Rush Limbaugh, what he always did so well at greatly communicating is the greatness of America. But beyond that, also, like, the importance of free markets and the ability for you to go out and provide for yourself and to not be penalized by the government, that you're the one who earned that money. It's your money, not the government's money. And yet here they come in and they want to punish success. They want to punish you for working harder. They want to reward those who don't work and then punish those who do. And so as a young kid who had hardworking parents and who wanted to provide for myself as well, what Rush Limbaugh, and of course, on Friday night in Glendive, I talked about the Reagan 80s and the Rush Limbaugh 90s. It just spoke to kids like me. And I think kids like you as well. So that's really what got me so, you know, excited about talk radio from an early age. And it was, you know, like I mentioned to Tim and Savage the other day, you know, part of the fun also was when you're way up there just south of the border, on the northern border, you know, and, you know, it's late at night and you can't get to sleep on a school night. You just put those headphones on and scroll through the AM dial, scroll through the FM dial, and just see what you pick up. And so it was kind of cool that just, you know, hearing the different programs, the different music, the different languages and everything on that little Sony Walkman. All right, let's jump right into some of the big topics of the day here. Montana's U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy, he was on Fox Business. They were talking about President Trump's efforts to remake America into a manufacturing superpower. And one thing that's being lost right now, you know, the left-wing media, the media mob, here they go again. We had incredible news yesterday. Incredible news come out. Daines, Sheehy, Downing, Zinke, our whole four-man congressional delegation applauding President Trump's Department of Interior for approving the plan for the Spring Creek coal mine. What are we talking, like 300 jobs there? This was something that was blocked by the Biden tester regime. Now Trump and our Republican congressional delegation are championing and touting the approval of the plan to keep the Spring Creek coal mine in Bighorn County, Montana, up and running for another near two decades at least. This is great news. I looked at one of the news websites. They didn't even have a story on it. But what did they have a story on? The tariff fear porn. Ooh, Donald Trump's trade war. Oh, give me a break. You guys are just trying to undermine the president of the United States and embolden the wimps like Justin Trudeau. And you don't even have a story on your TV station website about this incredible news right here in your own backyard about saving hundreds of jobs. And for our friends in Butte, yes, union jobs too. But look at what Donald Trump, they put out this full list. This is just some of the investments President Trump has secured, investments in America to make America the manufacturing superpower of the world once again. This is just some of what he's already done in just 7 weeks. Apple announcing a historic $500 billion investment, which will create 20,000 new U.S.-based jobs. A $500 billion private investment in artificial intelligence infrastructure. TSMC announcing an unprecedented $100 billion investment in U.S.-based semiconductor chip manufacturing. Eli Lilly and Company, a $27 billion investment in U.S.-based manufacturing. Shipping giant CMA CGM investing $20 billion in U.S. shipping and logistics, creating 10,000 new American jobs. $20 billion investment by DAMAC, Damac Properties, to build new U.S.-based data centers. This list is 3 pages long of billions and billions of dollars in investments in American manufacturing. That's what this whole move is all about right now. And the media mob is doing everything they can to try to undermine what the president of the United States of America is doing to make America a manufacturing superpower once again. I was thinking about this earlier. One of my never Trumper Republican friends. Well, yeah, but a tariff war, and what does that do with our friends? Well, first off, Trudeau isn't really a friend of the United States of America. Some of these weak European leaders certainly aren't. They gave more money to Putin than they did to Ukraine last year. But this was the analogy I came up with. Okay, if you go to your friend's house and they ask you to take your shoes off and you gladly do, and then when they come to your house, you ask them to take their shoes off, but they don't want to take their shoes off in your house. But what kind of friend is that? That's what's happening right now. You go to their house, you better follow their rules. They come to your house, they don't care. They will trample all over your freshly mopped floor.
Getting engaged? At Shane Company, dream engagement rings are a specialty. We have the most beautiful, natural, and lab-grown diamonds, hand-picked in every price range, ready to compare side by side. Shop online at ShaneCo.com or in-store. Shane Company, your friend and jeweler.
Fox News commentary.
Gavin Newsom loves himself so much, he allegedly had a bronze bust of himself installed at San Francisco City Hall. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
From around the world, Trey Yingst, joining us from Tel Aviv, Israel.
To Washington.
I'm Mike Emanuel.
To your own backyard. If a story impacts you or your wallet, we're on it. It's the Fox News Rundown. We give every story the deeper look it deserves with must-listen interviews and smart analysis from the voices you can trust. Start your day with the Fox News Rundown. Listen and follow now at foxnewsrundown.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
It's no secret California Governor Gavin Newsom loves himself, but the lengths he'll go to prove it are really something. Get this, Gavin allegedly had a bronze bust of himself installed inside San Francisco City Hall to commemorate his term as mayor. This all according to the newly released book, Fool's Gold, The Radicals, Con Artists, and Traitors Who Killed the California Dream and Now Threaten Us All, written by Susan Crabtree and Jed McFadder. In the book, the authors allege Newsom arranged for that bust to be made using funds he controlled, but then pretended he didn't know anything about it. Yeah, sounds about writing. We shouldn't be surprised. The man has a personal photographer, has launched at least 2 podcasts in the last 2 years, and never passes up an opportunity for the spotlight. Boy, I wish I loved anything as much as that man seems to love himself. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
I'm Dana Perino. This week on Perino on Politics, I'm joined by former GOP strategist and host of the Rich Zeoli Show, Rich Zeoli. Available now on FoxNewsPodcast.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Must listen to podcasts from Fox News Audio.
Here's a look at your Montana weather. For Billings and Bozeman, we'll see lingering clouds and some snow showers around the area early on today, followed by some sunshine, especially this afternoon.
High temperatures will range from the upper 30s around 40 in Bozeman to 49 in the Billings area. For tonight, with partly cloudy skies, low temperatures from the lower to middle 20s in most spots, partly sunny Saturday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to Real
Off a Bathroom Remodel. Call 406-948-2836, 406-948-2836, or go to YHIC.com.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's great getting your messages, great hearing your stories about your cassette tapes, your CDs, your 8-tracks, you name it. Man, I was talking with Becky Hillier earlier about the rap down in Chicago. WGCI. They'd always do like they just opened up like a fresh beverage. WGCI. It was so cool. Oh, yeah, but isn't it funny how, you know, there was a time period where you listen to this music, the time period you listen to that music, and then you moved on to different music, and now it's all talk radio all the time. All right, until the workout at the gym later today, right. Hey, let me tell you, if you're somebody who doesn't like to work out at the gym, or if you do, you know, you just want to go and just do some simple exercise. You don't want to go all crazy. You're not trying to, you know, get all crazy bulked or anything like that. I'll tell you what, you're really going to love Billings Last Diet, because it's still good to exercise just because it's good to exercise, right? But with Billings Last Diet, when I did my diet tune-up recently, I'll do at least one a year. I'll do a diet tune-up. That's how you shed any of the, you know, couple few pounds you might have put on over the year, which gets harder the older you get. You know, you get into your 30s and it's a little harder to stay trim. You get into your 40s, a little harder to stay trim. You get into it, it's a little harder every decade, isn't it? But here's the thing. So I love going to the gym. I love exercising. But what I found is that when I got back from my last military deployment, is that like, man, I was working out all the time. But you can't outrun your fork. If you don't get your diet and your nutrition under control, you're just going to continue to be, you know, disappointed. But with Billings Last Diet, when you go into the fat burning mode and in that phase one of the diet program, they actually tell you, whoa, 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 don't go work out too crazy. If you want to go for a nice walk, go for a nice walk. You know, a light walk on a treadmill or out in the neighborhood, yeah, that's great. Because if you get your heart rate up too much or you start going into muscle building mode, then your body instead is not focused on burning fat. And that's what Billings Last Diet does. Man, they shred. Tim and Savage lost 90 pounds thanks to Billings Last Diet. I lost 33 pounds and I've kept it off since then. Check out BillingsLastDiet.com. Doesn't matter where you live in Montana or America, they've got a remote option that is now rocking and rolling. BillingsLastDiet.com. Let's see. Tater in Forsyth sent us a message. She says, I had to laugh when you said you carried your big cassette case. I did too. And then it was the CD case. I don't hardly do anything without music. And nowadays it's so much easier. Have a great Freedom Friday. Yeah, Tater, thanks for that message. Great to hear from you. Okay, let's see. Before we run out of time, yeah, I mentioned newly elected Senator Tim Sheehy was just on, I think he was on Fox Business, and they were talking about tariffs and President Trump working to bring manufacturing back to America and bring the manufacturing jobs back to America. Senator Sheehy also talking about the importance of making sure that these tax cuts are made permanent and that we don't see a tax hike.
And I can promise you the top priority for this conference, I'm telling you, there's not a conference lunch or conference meeting that goes by where we are not talking about making the tax cuts permanent.
That's right.
So exactly what Mark Wayne said, our American business owners and investors have certainty in our regulatory environment so they can invest even more. And let's not forget, in these last couple of weeks, Larry, we've seen unprecedented announcements of investments into America, hundreds of billions of dollars of manufacturing coming back to our country. So, you know, point taken, but I can promise you getting the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act turned into a permanent law so we have certainty. That's a top priority for us, and we're going to be getting there as fast as we can.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that'll be so huge, too, is just making these tax cuts permanent, getting that job done. Because you remember back in the early 80s, just like Trump is trying to rebuild this country following the Biden disaster, Ronald Reagan rebuilt this country following the Jimmy Carter disaster. And but the tax cuts back in the early 80s took a while to go into effect. They make them permanent now. Boom, we keep the train rolling.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Here's the scenario. You believe that businesses who raise their prices, say for gasoline or water after a flood or natural disaster, are criminals and should be thrown in jail. Then you listen to an expert or take an economics class and hear why such anti-price gouging policies produce outcomes that are worse. And so you are no longer against letting prices go up, right? Well, not exactly. New research shows that people don't change their beliefs on strongly held convictions, even after hearing explanations about how policies they strongly believe in lead to worse outcomes. There's no question that people have less trust of experts, especially in the wake of COVID. But our sudden love affair with bad economic policies, like 100% tariffs, $25 an hour minimum wages, or directing government spending on favored industries, seem doomed to repeat some very painful lessons from economic history that those now distrusted experts have spent their professional lives learning how to avoid. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.